My name is Lazarus. My sisters and I live in the village of Bethany on the Jericho Road, next to Bethpage, about a little less than 2 of your miles from the city of Jerusalem and the temple. We're not well off, but we're not poor either. We're just trying to make it day by day. Everywhere around us is the sign and symbols of Roman power and might. The Roman Empire that stretches from the desert to the east to the western shores of the great sea. We see it in the centurions that march our streets, the legions that patrol our land, and the taxes. Every year, it seems as if taxes get higher and higher, becoming more and more difficult to pay. Several of our friends in our village have been put in the debtor's prison and their children sold as slaves to pay back the debt. Life is hard. For generations, my family, my father, my father's father, and his father before him have prayed. Prayed in the synagogues, prayed in the homes, prayed in the temple services, asking God to send us a deliverer, like he sent Moses to Pharaoh, to say, "Let my people go." And with a mighty outstretched arm, God brought our people out of bondage into a land of promise. We believe that another deliverer is to be sent, an anointed one from the root of Jesse, the son of David, one who would set us free. And so we've prayed and prayed. When I was a little boy, my father told me of a miraculous birth that took place in the hill country of Ephraim. A little baby was born to an old couple, a priest named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. Way past being able to give birth, God blessed them with a little boy called John. And it was spread throughout the hill country, and it made it all the way down here to Bethany, that this child was destined for something great, that he would be the prophet of the Most High. He would usher in the coming of Messiah. About 4 or 5 years ago, this John came out of hiding in the wilderness and began to preach a message of repentance. And our people had been electrified. Is it possible that after all these years of waiting, God was sending the deliverer? John said he was not the Messiah, he was not the coming one, but that there was one that would come after him who would be greater than he was, who would baptize with the Holy Spirit. It was about 3 years ago now that a man by the name of Jesus from the city of Nazareth came and was baptized by John. John said that this is the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. And for the last 3 years, we've been hearing about miracles and signs and wonders. We've heard about his teaching, that he doesn't teach like our teachers of the law in the synagogue because he doesn't quote some other rabbi. He says, "Thus saith the Lord." Most of his miracles, though, have not been done down here in Judea, but up in the north, under the jurisdiction of Herod in Galilee. We hear of the blind eyes being opened, the deaf ears being opened for people to hear, the mute mouths opened so the people could speak. We've heard of the lame jumping up and walking. We've heard of lepers being cleansed. But it wasn't until about 1.5 years ago that I had my first chance to meet him. He, like any of the Jewish males, would make pilgrimage to Jerusalem at Feast of Passover, Feast of Weeks, and Feast of Booths. This particular time, he made his way on the Jericho Road through Bethany. The crowd was astir because we've heard so much about him, so we all came out to see him. Hundreds of people lining the streets. It was as if a foreign dignitary was coming in, if the emperor himself was coming in. My sister Martha, she's my older sister. She's always trying to be in charge. This particular time, the crowds were everywhere. You know what she did? She pushed her way up and said, "Jesus, you're going to have dinner at our house today." And he came. It was amazing. He came with his disciples and he was sitting there. Jesus was in my house. You should have seen Martha. She was running all over the place, trying to get the dishes ready, trying to get the food cooked. Mary and I just wanted to sit down at Jesus' feet and listen to what he was saying. He was in our house. We were soaking up everything he had to say, and Martha's just running back and forth. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw her grab Mary's robe, trying to get Mary to come. And Mary kept going, shh, and kept listening to Jesus. And finally, Martha got so frustrated, she marched right up to Jesus and said, "Jesus, you need to get my sister Mary to help me." Mary's eyes got big as saucers. Everyone got quiet and said to themselves, "I wonder what Jesus is going to say. Was he going to rebuke Mary? Because in my day, most rabbis would not allow women to sit at their feet and be taught. Was he going to rebuke Mary and tell her, 'Well, you really need to be back in the kitchen?'" What was he going to do? You should have seen Jesus' face. He looked at Martha, shook his head, smiled, and said, "Martha, Martha, you are overwhelmed and distracted with so many things." I almost got the feeling that Jesus would have been happy with some bread and fruit as long as Martha had been able to listen to what he was saying. And then he said, "Mary has chosen what's most important. It's not going to be taken from her." All my life, I have never seen Martha speechless. There was nothing she could say. The master had spoken. After that, Jesus stopped by regularly whenever he made pilgrimage to Jerusalem. We had the privilege of hosting him. It got a little overwhelming when all the disciples came with him. But what a joy to stay up late into the night and listen to Jesus. We became so close. I could tell just the way he looked at me that we were loved by him. We weren't just a number in the crowd. He looked at us and loved us. Then 4 months ago, Jesus came by. He said he wanted to go up to Jerusalem at the Feast of Dedication. I think you know that as Hanukkah. But Jesus wanted to go up. It was winter time, so it was colder. And he stopped by the house, and it's the first time I've seen Jesus like this. He seemed sad. All the other times, he was just so full of joy and so full of life. He had a twinkle in his eye. You just knew that he was living life to its fullest, doing the will of his Father. But this time, I don't want to say he was distracted, but he was focused. It's almost as if he knew something was coming. We later heard that there was great conflict in the temple and that some of the Jews had taken up stones to put him to death. He slipped away and we didn't have a chance to say goodbye. It was shortly after that that I became ill. I had been sick off and on, but this was different. I could feel it. I could feel as if my life was ebbing away. My sister Martha tried everything. That's how she is. She got the doctor to come and nothing helped. I could look in Mary's eyes and she was scared. She was afraid she was going to lose me. I love my little sister Mary. Things became so desperate, they sent word to Jesus. He was about 20 miles north up in the region of Perea, and they sent a message. "Come, come quickly. The one you love is dying." I remember that day. I could feel my fingers and hands and feet getting colder and colder. I knew Jesus wasn't going to make it back in time. That I was probably going to go through the gates of Sheol and be a dead man.
Up at the gravestone rolled away with a loud voice, Jesus started to say,
Lazarus!
Jesus!
Lazarus!
Jesus!
Lazarus!
Hey, Jesus!
Lazarus!
It was amazing to hear the voice of Jesus in the grave. I heard him. He cried out, Lazarus, this way out. And I followed his voice. And I came out of the tomb and I was all bandaged up, but I could feel the warmth of the hot sun. And then I heard Jesus yell, loose him and let him go. And they took off the bandage around my face, and I saw Mary and Martha, and tears are streaming down their cheeks, and then they're laughing, and then they're crying, and I can't move. I'm trying to hug them, and they're trying to unwrap me all at the same time. We danced, we laughed, we cried, and Jesus just had this big grin. All of our friends were celebrating, and it was just the most amazing experience. I was a dead man, but now alive and walking. Not everybody was as thrilled as we were. Some of the folks that were there went running back to the Pharisees and teachers of the law to inform them of what had happened. So many people were beginning to put their faith in Jesus because they had seen Jesus raise me from the dead. That the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the Sadducees, and the high priest prophesied that Jesus would need to be put to death. And not only Jesus, that they wanted to put me to death. I was just dead and alive again, but they wanted to put me to death. Well, you knew what happened. After I was raised from the dead, Jesus went into the wilderness because it wasn't his time, he said. But we never really had the opportunity to thank him. And so, just last week, Jesus made his way back into town, heading up to Jerusalem to the Passover. And he and his disciples stopped by for dinner, and Martha put on a spread. But this time, she did not look as overwhelmed and distracted. I think she finally realized that the Lord was more important than the service to the Lord. The house was filled with joy. I kept looking over at my sister Mary, and tears kept streaming down her cheeks. She was just so happy, so thankful that Jesus had raised her big brother from the dead. Everybody was rejoicing and celebrating, but again, I saw that look in Jesus' eye. He was with us. But he wasn't. Probably about the time we finished dinner, I saw Mary slip out of the room. I wasn't sure where she was going, but I know that the night had been very emotional for her. And then I saw her come back with a flask of perfume. And she poured it on Jesus' feet and began to wipe his feet with her tears. The whole room was filled with the smell and the fragrance. One of Jesus' disciples became quite angry and asked Jesus to rebuke my sister for what she did. At that moment, I saw fear hit Mary's eyes. She didn't know if she had done a good thing or a bad thing, because the disciples said that that could have been sold for 300 days' wages and helped the poor. For a moment, Mary felt like she had been a poor steward. But Jesus immediately silenced his disciple and said, "Leave her alone. She's done a good thing." She's done a good thing. But then he said something that startled all of us in the room. He said, she's done this to prepare my body for burial. Burial? The Messiah is not supposed to die. The Messiah is supposed to live. The Messiah is supposed to rule and reign forever and ever. Die? Well, you know the events that took place starting the next day. The entry into Jerusalem on the donkey with the tens of thousands of people, the palm branches, the cloaks, the shouts of Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. You know the cleansing of the temple, the days of questioning and testing. You know what took place 2 days ago when Jesus was nailed to the cross, put to death. My sisters and I stood at a distance, stunned. We watched him die and put him in the tomb. All hope was gone. But then I began to think, all hope was gone for me too. But the one they called the resurrection and the life had the final word. Death didn't. And I was brought back to life. For a moment, the thought passed through my mind, is it possible that he's going to beat death in his own life as well? I didn't dare say anything to my sisters or to anyone else. But then today, word's spreading. He is risen from the dead. I was dead. I no longer fear death because I know what it was like, that this is not all there is, that there is life after this life when you put your faith and trust in Jesus. Listen to the testimony of a dead man walking. I know that death is not something to be feared, but something that Jesus the Messiah has overcome. He did it in my life, but he only brought me back to this life. He has a brand new resurrected body and a resurrected life. And the promise goes out that that life is available for you if you will believe in the one who is the resurrection and the life. Listen to the testimony of a dead man walking. Death doesn't have the final word. Messiah Jesus does. And you here, almost 2,000 years later, are testimony to that fact. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these times that we get to step into the pages of Scripture, step into the lives of very real people, and listen to their testimony. The testimony of a dead man walking. He died without hope, only to hear the one who was the resurrection and the life say, Lazarus, this way out. And that testimony caused people to put their faith in Jesus. I ask that Lazarus's testimony today would continue to cause people to put their faith in Jesus. We thank you that death could not hold back Lazarus, but death could not hold back Jesus in a far greater way. This wasn't a resuscitation as it was for Lazarus, back to this life, but it was resurrection to a brand new life. And the promise is that he was the first, and we will follow. I pray, Lord, that everybody in this place that has worshiped or sung songs or heard them sung would this day receive the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ and to know that they do not need to fear death. Lazarus lets them know, nothing to fear if you know the one who is the resurrection and the life. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. and amen. Go in the grace of our God to serve not only a risen Savior, but an ascended Lord. God bless.